Hey, it's the Big Boss Man, your old pal GM Jared here, and I live for this.
Our Chuck wins it in. Here's Lemieux poking at the center. Lemieux ahead to Gretzky. Has Murphy with him on a 2-on-1 to Lemieux. And on goal, he shoots, he scores! Barry Lemieux with 1:26 remaining.
The Hockey Show. Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM. Because we all live for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
You got that look in your eye. I take one look and I'm high. And no, I'm exactly your type. We've been together so nice. We acting so impolite. Think we gon' call it a night. I'll call the car with your light.
But first, I wanna see you walk that walk.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us here tonight. Breaking news all day on Wednesday and looks like going to be into Thursday in terms of what's happening. But lots to go over. I want to welcome Jenna back. Jenna, how are you?
I am just thriving. How are you?
I don't believe that for a second, but okay, I'll go with that. No, I'm well. I'm well, doing extremely well in terms of staying safe, and which is the opposite of everybody else, it seems like, in this world right now. So I'm just going to ask, I mean, we were just discussing this quickly, but I mean, I hate coming on this radio show every day or every week and talking about COVID, but we have to talk about this because it keeps putting itself into the conversation. And today is going to be no different.
Yeah, it's definitely, it demands attention almost. Like, there's no way to not talk about it because it's affecting literally everything, like every aspect of everyone's lives right now. And yeah, it's frustrating having to come on here every week and all we talk about is COVID. But like, what else do you talk about when that's literally like taking over essentially not the entire world? Because as we, you know, we talked about a little bit before, there's some countries
right,
that are
yeah.
Okay. But I mean, for the most part, it's everywhere. It's affecting everything and it's frustrating as heck.
So if you know what we're going to lead off with here, folks, it's probably going to be COVID related. I do want to say, I do want to say we'll get to the NHL COVID situation with the Vancouver Canucks in a little bit here. But big news that came out is that the province of Nova Scotia has decided that their numbers are spiking far too quickly for what they're comfortable with. And with a number of international hockey stars coming to the province to play in the Women's World Championship, the IIHF Women's World Championship, in 2 weeks, they have decided that that's not going to happen. They're putting a stop by closing their borders. As a result, the Women's World Championship will not happen in 2 weeks. And it sounds like the IIHF and Hockey Canada are now trying to scramble to find a solution that they can hopefully have this tournament in the summer. I'm not against. I mean, I'm torn because I want to see the Women's World Championship played. But I'm also against the idea of possibly more people bringing in COVID, more people having a problem, more, you know, somebody at the tournament getting it and then spreading it there as well. Like, it's such a double-edged sword right now in terms of where we're going to go with this, because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you have the event and somebody gets sick, you're in big trouble. And if you don't have the event because you're worried about keeping everybody healthy, you're also in trouble. So to me, it makes the most sense when you're thinking about a public health crisis to protect the public, but it just sucks not, you know, having these women work as hard as they have to try and make this team, and now there's no tournament to be had.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's definitely frustrating, and you know, we want to watch that hockey. I mean, they've all been working so hard to get there, and they're out. All the Canadian girls are out there right now. I know, but I mean, I think it's probably, as annoying as it is, probably for the best, rather than, like you said, there's no really winning at this point. Like, you're going to have the tournament and something's probably going to happen, even if it's one or two players, but you're going to get in a lot of trouble that way. But then if you cancel it, you have all, like when I was talking to you earlier, I was all mad about it, but I didn't actually think about it. I was like, that's just annoying. But I mean, you're going to have people that are like, oh, well, why aren't they playing? Why, blah, blah, blah. Like, people don't get that. But I think it's definitely for the best at this point, especially I know we'll talk about some of the other leagues that are going through it right now with COVID. Yeah. So I mean, in the long run, it's probably better. And we've been saying that for a year, not that I've been here for a year, but since I've started just coming up with hockey, teams playing, and better just to not do it and keep everyone safe. But there's definitely no winning when it comes to this.
I don't disagree with you. I think that, you know, again, I get that sports is an escape from this stupidity that we're under. I mean, it's not stupid, I guess, but this is this sort of craziness that we're in terms of this pandemic. And I understand how important it is for, you know, hockey players to play hockey. I mean, that's their chosen sort of, you know, path in life. But at some point, in some way, I mean, saying no is the right answer. And I wish it was different. I wish, you know, they could have a tournament. But I mean, we already saw the IIHF bungle the World Junior Championship, where Team Germany basically was reduced to like 15 players at one point. I mean, you can't do that at a World Championship. You can't. I mean, there, if you run into a Canada and you only have 15 players on your bench, you're going to get shellacked.
Yeah.
and I look at that and I just go, maybe the IIHF should have learned from that and had backup plans, or had some sort of plan B in place in case something didn't work. But plan B legitimately should have been, okay, we'll wait till it's safe then. Like, I'm not saying that's the right answer. I'm saying that's the safe answer, and that's the way it should be. And I don't understand why. I get that people are outraged that we're not having this tournament for the second year in a row, but it's also because the province of Nova Scotia wants to try and get through this spike they're seeing in COVID-19 cases. Like, publicly, it makes a ton of sense. Privately, yes, I'm torn, but I also want to see Canada done with COVID. I would like that as a whole.
Yeah, I feel that one. Yeah, there's really, like, there's no winning. There really isn't. I mean, I would love to obviously watch that, all that hockey and stuff, but I mean, it's similar to the NHL in the sense that, like, I mean, not really similar. They're doing opposite. The NHL is more so like, let's make some money. Who cares? They're just star players. But at least in this case, I mean, yes, it's coming from Nova Scotia, not so much, you know, IIHF. But I think it's best in the long run for the safety of, like, not only, you know, the public and everything, but also the players. So.
Well, and I mean, you look at the number of players that are coming. And again, we're talking about, you know, like nine teams basically that are coming into Canada. And mm-hmm. You go, assuming they've all been tested. Again, we're going to guess they all have been. Look what happened with Sweden. Look what happened with Germany. Look what happened with Austria. Like, there were players that legitimately couldn't come to this tournament because they were flagged and told, well, too bad. They were all supposed to get on a charter tomorrow and all supposed to go over and bubble up in either Truro or Halifax, depending on where they were staying, and get together and basically do their thing. Well, we saw what happened with the NWHL in terms of the spread that went through that tournament like a wildfire.
Yeah.
We saw what happened with Germany. Germany basically was KO'd for part of that tournament. I mean, they played, but they didn't win. But I mean, you look at how fast it spread and you just go, even if they bubble up, like, this doesn't seem to be working the way that the IIHF intended it to work, because you're asking people from all over the world to come together and live in this confined environment.
Yeah, I mean, it also, I think, would depending on their like quarantine or isolation requirements, which don't seem, I guess it's also different province to province and whatnot. Everyone has different rules, but I mean, it definitely hasn't worked out in really anything at this point. Even like we look at Vancouver, for example, like, you know what I mean? Like one of them gets it. It's you're on a hockey team. Even if you're doing things in cohorts, doing whatever, like it's going to spread. It spreads like wildfire. So I don't know. I don't think there's a right answer to this. It's just so, you know, more so like what's safer, not so much like what's the right thing to do, but.
Well, I mean, Halifax is affected in another way as well. And we'll get to that in a second, because there's another part to this that legitimately affects another league. So we'll talk about that in a second. But I also want to touch on the fact that the U.S., Team USA, was coming in with a 1 week old head coach. I mean, he's not 1 week old, but he's 1 week old in terms of coaching it. Former assistant coach Joel Johnson would be coaching Team USA because former head coach Bob Corkum stepped down while citing COVID-19 protocol concerns less than 3 weeks before the tournament opened. He basically stepped down last week out of nowhere. Didn't talk to anybody, didn't say anything. but he basically sent a text to the Associated Press on Saturday saying that I was not comfortable with the protocols. It was a difficult decision to make, but it's one I am at peace with. The team will not miss a beat. They're in great hands.
Oh, that's a big yikes.
And so you wonder how this is, like, where this is coming from. Because, again, Corcoran hasn't come out to basically sort of, you know, clarify his statements. But don't forget that we saw the St. Louis portion of the PWHPA shut down because they were in close contact with COVID-19 the week before. Mm-hmm. And so if those players are going to play now with Team USA, maybe Corcoran's going, no, that's not going to work for me. Like, no, we can't have that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to like speculate anything, right? If we don't have whatever, but obviously something wasn't going the way that it should have been over there, which is kind of also a red flag when it comes to all this COVID stuff. So.
Well, and see, and the St. Louis stop followed a 10-day national team evaluation camp or national team evaluation camp, excuse me, 10 days earlier in Minnesota. And then USA Hockey refused to release any information to say whether any of its players had tested positive. So you wonder if the bigger St. Louis issue was a result because somebody did test positive in Minnesota and then they were going to be sent on to Corcoran, who's going, hold on a second here. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, we're just speculating. I'm just speculating here. I can't say that's what happened, but it seems like that would be the logical A to B to C. No.
100%. I mean, that's what like you said, just speculating on it, but again, if we're not getting any sort of like answers at all, like this comes down to the whole transparency thing that we were talking about with the NHL too, you know, like how are we supposed to trust anything that's happening if we have literally no idea what's going on? Like that just, it doesn't work. And obviously something's not going right and you can speculate this and that, but in the like, realistically, like we need that transparency. And I feel like that could also be, you know, part of why the IIHF was like, well, we're going to just shut her down now, because I mean, yeah, not IIHF, I guess it's Nova Scotia, but still, I mean, if you don't know anything what's going on with every single team that's coming here, what are you gonna do?
But I mean, it comes down to, again, that I mean, we need to be more aware, and I'll say this only because, again, of the Vancouver Canucks situation, and we heard about stories about how guys struggle to basically go up and down the stairs. We're talking about athletes in the prime of their career and guys struggling to go up and down the stairs in terms of being winded, and you go, what happens if something like that happens? Like, I mean, there's so many things we don't know about what can happen or what has gone on, that if you're asking these players to go into this bubble and all of a sudden they get COVID, again, we're going to be talking about an NWHL situation where, well, this team can't play tonight, or this team can't do this tonight, or this team is completely gone from the tournament because they're never going to be able to recover in time. And for the IIHF, you got to look at that and you got to go, no, we don't want any of that negative press to come along with this. And yet I look at it and I go, you're basically asking all the players to do that. You basically have told them, we're going to authorize this tournament in Nova Scotia. We'll give you 14 days to make sure everybody's healthy. And then it's all bets are off after that. We're just going to play.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, it's something that it can affect everyone differently. Right. So like, you know, one player could get it out there and it could be like, oh, whatever, I feel kind of crappy. And then it could be someone else that ends up needing to be hospitalized or something. Like there's no, I don't know. It's it's all so frustrating because I just want to watch the hockey, but I don't know. In the long run, I think it's definitely the better answer, but.
So according to the information that we're getting out of various sources, this is from the CBC. The plan was to have the players quarantine individually in their own hotel rooms for an unspecified number of days. After that, they could bubble with their team members to work out and practice, but move, quote, in a controlled manner, unquote, from the hotel to the arena. They would not have been exposed to any members of the public. So it sounds like they had a plan in place. But again, because of the spiking numbers, all bets are off. And I get it. I understand that this is a big thing, but the IIHF and the cities of Halifax and Truro aren't spending NHL style money to make this happen. They're literally doing it on the backs of volunteers. How many volunteers are going to go home or are going to be exposed to something and possibly bring it back into the bubble?
No, exactly. And I mean, even with that, you're having people come from literally all over the world. So you don't know, like, yeah, maybe they won't be exposed to the public as much, but there is, like you said, those volunteers, but then there's also people coming from literally all over the world. And yeah, you can make that isolate, but there's still that chance that, you know, and like you said, it's like wildfire. Once someone gets it, it's pretty much going to be game over. So what's the point?
I mentioned Halifax. Keep it in the back of your mind. Here's why. We're going to talk about that in a second. But WHL season wraps up this week, although season is probably a very loose term to use. But the mini sort of bubbles that the WHL was running just to get the players into some sort of game, some sort of game action, will wrap up this week. It looks like the Brandon Wheat Kings will end up as the top team, as they are 15-3-2 on the season. In the 20 games they played, just a point ahead of Saskatoon. Winnipeg Ice, 3 points behind as well. So congratulations to them. But that bubble that they set up seemed to work in Regina. I will say that right now, that bubble seemed to work as we had no additional cases from any of those players or teams.
Hey, look at that.
So putting all of those kids into one arena and basically telling, I mean, there were stories, there was a picture of a bed set up in one of the luxury boxes that Red Deer was using, and people were laughing about it, but legitimately a bubble, you can't leave, you can't go out, you can't go anywhere bubble seemed to work for the WHL.
I think it also, I mean, that's obviously great that it seemed to work, but it comes down to the players also. Like, you need to have players that, like we saw with the NWHL, for example, like they were posting stuff of like in the lobbies and in hallways and stuff, right. Like no mask, no nothing. Whereas here, obviously the boys took that seriously and were like, well, if we want to play hockey, this is what we have to do. So I think, I mean, obviously that's awesome that it worked, and obviously they had a great like protocol in place, but in the long run, it comes down to the players that, you know, making sure that they're keeping not only themselves safe, but their teammates, right?
Well, and I mean, you look at sort of the overall and you go, really, there was no team that, you know, that struggled or, you know, I mean, there was teams that obviously didn't do as well as everybody else. But you look at the only sort of major problem was that Kelowna didn't play. Kelowna basically suspended their activities on March 30th and never got to play again after that. They played 5 games total.
Oh.
And the reason they did for it is because they had one positive test on the 30th, which then expanded into 6 positive tests, which then expanded into more positive tests on April 14th. And things just kept getting worse and worse and worse. So aside from Kelowna, which again is out in that sort of BC bubble that they were building out in BC to get everything going. It was a pretty successful setup. Now I'm not saying that, again, I'm not saying that there aren't problems. Obviously that Kelowna issue is a problem, but at least they were only touched by having one team sort of affected by that. The OHL isn't even going to bother with it. And we know that the Ontario numbers are spiking big time. Like they're not even going to worry about it. They're just saying, nope, no season, forget it. We're not playing a season this year, which, okay, fine. I respect that for the safety involved of all the players and all the people that work in and around the players and the arenas. It sucks for those players who are trying to get drafted because they don't get to showcase their skills this year. But in the long run, if you're sick and can't play, you wouldn't get to showcase your skills anyway.
No, exactly. And I mean, I know I told you, obviously I'm not going to name names, but there's been some professional hockey players where stuff has come out in the long run. And the reason that they're not playing is because they have contracted COVID like months and months ago, and it's still affecting them. So, I mean, yeah, you want to showcase yourself to an extent, but if you end up getting it, yeah, you might be okay, but you also might be very sick for a very long time. So I think it's obviously the numbers in Ontario are rising as well, but like, I mean, it's probably better to be safe than sorry at this point. We've seen it literally spreading like crazy in other leagues and stuff. So why take the chance?
Well, let's talk about the sorry, because here's where sorry comes in, because I'm sorry, but the Quebec Junior League, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League is the sorriest of the three. And it's ridiculous what they're trying to do now just to squeeze these stupid playoffs in. I mentioned it last week when Lori Stoddy was on, and we were talking to her about how they had an outbreak and these teams wouldn't affect the bubbles and wouldn't affect the playoffs and all this kind of stuff. The Atlantic bubble has been delayed till May 3rd now. So you might recall that, you know, there were some cases and numbers are rising in Nova Scotia and numbers are rising in New Brunswick. The Atlantic bubble has been delayed until May 3rd. So that, I mean, you're looking at that, you're going, man, that's like another like 2 weeks away. Yeah, it is. The regular season ended on Sunday, April 18th. So for the next 2 weeks, there's no hockey being played. The Halifax Mooseheads and the Cape Breton Eagles, who play in Nova Scotia and are not allowed to leave and nobody's allowed to come into the province now, have decided that they're not going to participate in the playoffs. They're done.
Oh, just calling her quit. I mean, yeah.
That's it. We're not taking part in the playoffs. Okay, fine. Okay, we can handle that. The three New Brunswick-based teams will play in a 9-game round-robin tournament with the winner facing off against the Charlottetown Islanders in the Maritime Division Final.
Oh.
So Charlottetown, who will not play for 2 weeks, gets to play against the winner of the 9-game round-robin to determine who will go on and play for the President Cup, whatever, in QMJHL.
Interesting.
Whoever wins that,
you don't play for a couple weeks, but you're going to have to come right back into it.
Right. So if you've taken a couple of weeks off and you've been able to practice and all that kind of stuff, congratulations. We'll invite you back eventually to come and play, but maybe not. So Whoever wins from those three new Brunswick based teams and PEI in Charlottetown will go on to play in a bubble with three teams from Quebec and basically have like a mini Memorial Cup at that point. Schedule and location of the event has yet to be determined.
Okay. All right.
One place they won't be playing playoffs, according to the QMJHL, is Val-d'Or. Val-d'Or will not host a protected environment for the first round of the 2021 President Cup playoffs because of COVID. Val-d'Or and Baie-Comeau will actually play in Drummondville, who will miss the playoffs, while Victoriaville will host Rouyn-Noranda at the Colisée Desjardins.
Interesting.
So Drummondville basically absorbs a team, and yeah, Rouyn-Noranda and Victoriaville play in just one location. So, they're the top. I don't know how we determined this. I don't know how we got into this, but here's the craziness of this. Val-d'Or is ranked number one. Baie-Comeau is ranked 12th in the.
Oh, yikes.
So I don't even know why we're playing this, other than the fact that maybe there's there could be an upset, but
maybe.
But yeah. So anyways, there's all sorts of craziness going on.
I feel like there's always lots of craziness coming from over there, though. Right. So,
and this is where things go crazy. So, again, we're talking about Moncton, Acadia, Bathurst in the Maritime bubble that's going to be out there. Acadia and St. John, or Acadia, Bathurst, and St. John will play as well in terms of those. And then, those teams will all play against each other. Quebec is just all over the place. Rimouski and Shawinigan will play. Baie-Comeau, Val-d'Or, Sherbrooke and Chicoutimi. Like, they're still having a full playoff schedule, and that started yesterday with St. John beating Moncton in that bubble 6-2.
Oh, wow.
There were 1,400 people at that game.
Shut.
I'm not joking.
I almost said something really bad there, but I'm glad I caught myself. Wow. 1400. You know what?
I don't know how, and I don't know why, but there were 1,400 people at that game yesterday.
What, like, for what? Like, I get it, you want to watch them. Like, why though? Why why? Like, I don't understand. There's barely that many people at NHL games that at the places that are allowed to have them. So
apparently it's something to do if you're bored
in
New Brunswick.
Bored, but you know what? No, I'm not going to get into this. I'm fired up now.
So that happened yesterday. And we're not even trying. We're not even trying now to make sure people are safe. We're just doing.
No. You know what's frustrating about this? Half those people are probably the ones that can go get their vaccine, but then there's me, an essential worker, but because I'm young, I can't get my vaccine, and I risk myself every day, but I don't go anywhere, but it's okay.
It's okay, yeah. So that surprised me. Tomorrow, Acadia, Bathurst, and St. John will play again. We'll play their first of whatever, their 9 games or whatever. It's not at the TD station, which is where the game was played yesterday. The next one that happens there is Acadia Bathurst on, what day is that? 25th against St. John. So there's a chance there could be another 1,400 people at that game.
Honestly, like, I will lose my mind. You have no, I just don't get it. Like, I get it. Like, I love hockey too. Like, all for it. But, like, put it on the TV at home for a little bit, man. Like, there's a pandemic going on.
Again, it doesn't seem to matter to the queue. The queue, again, is just doing whatever they have to get this damn playoff done. And we'll risk lives. We'll put people in the way. We'll make sure that, you know, things go the way that we want.
Wrongly worded letter.
So, yeah, that was fun, I guess, in terms of having that set up and that move going.
Wow.
Like, I'm just watching the highlights right now of that. Like, I just thought, oh, I'll just check the highlights and see, you know, see what it looks like in the arena. And I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe there wasn't, like, I don't see anybody sitting down. Oh no, there's people there. There they are.
No, there's people.
They're just sitting back away from the glass. That's all. I was like, where are they? They're not even up near the glass. Oh, there they are. They're just sitting further back. That's all.
Well, isn't that similar? NHL, like, the places that can have it, I think you need to be within like 6 to 12 feet from the glass or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like something stupid, because hey, you can sit beside each other, but just stay away from the glass.
Yep. That's how it's going to be then for everybody. So, like I said, I'm just shocked at this. But I mean, hey, QMJHL, more power to you, I guess. I mean, do what you got to do. I mean, who cares about killing people at this point? Who cares about people getting sick? We don't. It's no big deal. I mean, the province where you have two teams is basically saying, we're not playing anymore. And yet one province over, two provinces over, they're going, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry. You know what? Put some fans in the arena too.
Yeah, throw them in there. Let's see how many we can fit also. We, just to see.
We can't hold a double IHF event, but you guys can have fans in the building.
That's insane. Absolutely freaking insane.
Ah, oh, hockey, you are such a hypocritical sport.
You know what? Never mind. I'm not going to say it. Don't worry about it.
That's all right. let's get to some good news away from the insane news, because good news is always better than insane news, that's for sure. Big congratulations go out to longtime San Jose Shark, obviously Penguin and Maple Leaf as well, but longtime San Jose Shark, Patrick Marleau from the Hockey Show, for his achievement this week. It's been a while. It's been a while since there's been some sort of massive sort of record defeated, some sort of, you know, monster record that nobody's ever going to touch, you know, comes up in question. Patrick Marleau is now has played the most NHL games in NHL history.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I told you, I keep watching videos about it and it makes me cry. So that's good.
Game against the Vegas Golden Knights in Las Vegas on Monday night, 1,768th game, passing Gordie Howe as number one all time. I mean, Gordie, don't get me wrong, Gordie's got the WHA games as well. He's played the most professional sort of North American professional hockey games ever, which is great. But it's a big number, 1,768 games over 23 seasons for...
Because he started in 1997?
Yeah, 97 was his first game.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, I was two at the time.
I mean, that's the thing. I look at that and I go, no, I was nowhere. I was not ready for.
And, like, how do you, I mean, obviously I was reading some comments from other players and stuff in the NHL saying just, like, it's incredible because I think he's also coming up to, like, his 900th consecutive game. So he hasn't even missed a game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's insane considering how hard that sport is on your body, especially at that level. And like, you, not that he's old by any means, but like, to be playing in the NHL, he's not young. And the fact that he's like gonna come up to this other record right away and be like, oh, no big deal, like, I'm basically just Iron Man over here, I don't get hurt, I don't get sick, like, that's incredible.
I was laughing because I wrote about it on Hockey Blog in Canada, and I mean, so when he started his career, and you'll laugh about this, but when he started his career, you couldn't Google him because Google didn't exist. Google wouldn't debut to the world until September 4th, 1998. And he started his career on October 1st,
1997. That's too funny.
So you couldn't Google Patrick Marleau if you wanted to, which, I mean, back then was just a fledgling little search engine. But at the same time, though,
yeah,
look at Google today. Ties were still a thing in the NHL back then. Which is, again, people, what's a tie? What are these ties that we're talking about?
Yeah, what is that?
The Carolina Hurricanes played their first ever game on that same day that he started, October 1st, 1997. They would lose 4-2 to Tampa Bay that night, but they played their very first game after moving from Hartford.
No way. Look at that. That was a big night, hey?
2 days later, perhaps the biggest and coolest fact that I could find about this was that you may know the other guy, a little bit about the other guy who's in the story, in that Gordie Howe is the record that he broke. Gordie Howe's record of 1,767 games is the record that he broke. Two nights later, on October 3rd, 1997, Gordie Howe suited up in his very last professional hockey game.
Wow.
October 3rd saw him basically sign a one-day contract with the Detroit Vipers of the IHL, which allowed him, at the age of 69, to play in six decades of professional hockey.
That's insane. Like, absolutely insane.
Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, he played in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Could you, like, what? How? That's insane.
Now, again, Howe didn't play much. He was 69 years old. He was old. Like, he's an old dude at that point. Yeah, two shifts in the game. There were 20,182 fans that came out to watch an IHL game.
That's insane.
And they basically showered him with an ovation every time. No, it's kind of bittersweet that again, for me, that Howe basically ended his career that night, 2 days after Patrick Marleau would start his career. And now we're talking about Marleau passing Howe all time for the most NHL games in history. So, I mean, that to me is, I read some of the stupid things that people wrote, like Steve Simmons, about how, you know, he doesn't fight. He doesn't play hard. You know, he doesn't check. You know, he's never won a Stanley Cup. You know, all this stupidity that doesn't matter when it comes to playing in 23 seasons of professional hockey, where A, your body is put through the grinder every year, and B, to never miss a game basically in 12 seasons.
That's the thing. And, like, obviously, you know, like, he has that letter on his chest for a reason. You don't need to fight. You don't need to check. You need to play the game, and you need to be, you know, like, a leader out there. And that's exactly what he does, right? And so that makes me mad, because, oh, there's so much more to the game than just, you know, fighting and hitting and all that. Like, that's just absolutely ridiculous to me for someone to even, like, think that, because you can't stick around that long in the NHL especially and, like, not be a good player and not be, you know, like, a good person essentially. Like, if you're not playing well, you're not performing, you're not going to play there. But he's done it. He has. And if you're not a good leader, you're not going to get that letter on your chest. You're not going to do whatever. But he also has that. So how can you even, like, try and critique his, oh, insane. But
so the question becomes, is there anybody else that's even close to breaking Patrick Marleau's record now?
I don't think so. Is there?
Joe Thornton is 100 games behind Marleau.
Yeah.
They both broke into the league, Thornton with Boston and Marleau with San Jose, in 97.
Mm-hmm.
Zdeno Chara, who also broke into the league in 97, is 170 games back of Marleau.
You know what? And they're all in pretty good shape. So
I mean, there probably aren't many seasons left for these guys.
No.
But Joe Thornton was asked by Mike Zeisberger of NHL.com, you're gonna give a shot at, you know, take a run at Marleau's record. And his response was, quote, "I'm strictly one day at a time, and I've been in that mode for the last 5 years."
Honestly, that's fair, though. So fair.
So, I mean, he was super proud of Patrick Marleau. I mean, they're good friends. They played together forever in San Jose.
Yeah.
Super good friends, and he's super proud of him, and basically, you know, said that he has no intention of ever challenging that record that Marleau's now setting with every game moving forward. But the next closest player, do you want to know who that is? So again, we got Thornton and Chara, who, again, Chara's probably going to retire at some point, but 170 games would be an additional, like, 2+ seasons. So Chara has to go until he's like 45, or no, I guess not 45, but 43 or 40, 44, I guess.
Okay.
The next closest player, Eric Staal, who trails Marleau by nearly 500 games.
Okay, that's a long... Okay, but how old is Staal?
Staal's 35, 36.
Okay, he's got some time if he keeps at it, I guess.
But 500 games then would be like seven seasons.
Yeah, that's true. I was just going to say, that's not even... That's... Oh, That's insane. Like,
so when we talk about unbreakable records, like, I'm not saying that, again, I'd be foolish to say that Marlowe's record is unbreakable, but legitimately, this is one of those records where, I mean, it stood for 60 years with Gordie Howe.
Yeah. It won't be broken for a very long time.
Right. There's a lot of guys that are still playing that aren't even close to Marlowe's.
No, 500 number. Is like, yeah, like, I mean, no.
that's
a lot of games.
Right, just the magnitude of the number of games. Again, and Marlowe, if he wants to play again next year, would legitimately hit 1,800 games.
That's crazy.
When you consider that there are 80 games in a season, like, what?
I just don't, like, I can't even imagine. I mean, I didn't even obviously play that high of level. And after, like, 3-4 years, your body is like, what the heck?
I mean,
and, like, especially women talking, we don't hit, we don't do whatever. And, again, not even that high of level. So how do you not, you know what I mean? Like, how are you not run down after that many seasons? And how are you still just like, oh, I'm going to play for 900 games in a row? Like, what?
He was asked, I mean, and again, I mean, you know, Drew Remenda, who works on the San Jose Sharks broadcast team, post-game asked him, what keeps you coming back to the rink? And his answer, I mean, he legitimately, you could tell he was pretty emotional, but he stopped and he said, I just love it. There's nothing else like it. And you go, like, he's legitimately a little kid still. I mean, he's 41 years old, but he's still a little kid on the inside in terms of playing this game. And to hear that kind of passion, to hear that kind of love for the game, that's why this game rocks. I get the business has eclipsed, and we'll talk about a business piece in a second, but I get the business has eclipsed the sport entirely, that there's no way that we can go back from where it is now. But to hear a player come out and just say straight up, I love it, like there's nothing else like it, is the purity in hockey that I think that everybody is missing right now. It's that I show up because it's the only thing I want to do kind of answer.
Yeah. And you know, that takes obviously a certain type of person as well. That's not how it's going to work for everyone. But in order to, you know, get those certain accomplishments, you need to have that mentality. And that's like the best answer you could ask from someone when asking that question, you know, like, oh, I just love it. It's not like, oh, I'm going to start crying again. That's not.
I mean, again, I'm not going to take anything away. So again, he's played, again, as of Monday, played 1,768 games. All but 172 of those were in San Jose.
Yeah.
Which means that dude's a good guy. Team wants to keep him around. Dude's great in the locker room. Obviously, you know, players like him. Dude's great with the front office. Doesn't really hassle them for, you know, contract negotiations or, you know, no trade clause or anything like that. And lastly, dude's great in the community.
Yeah.
Like that on its own is legitimately why this sport has some great, great people in it. I get that there are some very unsavory people in it, but Patrick Marlowe is one of those guys, I think, that, I mean, again, I'm not saying you need to waive the 3-year exemption for the Hall of Fame for Patrick Marlowe, but if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer on the first year he's available to go in, I don't know who's voting on this anymore, because it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one 100%.
So Steve Simmons, stick it up your, you know what, because
get out of here.
Exactly. He's a Hall of Famer regardless of what you think of him. He's won 2 Olympic gold medals. He won in 2010 with Canada, won in 2014 with Canada. He's done enough. He's done enough to qualify for the Hall of Fame in my mind, regardless of whether he set this record or not.
You know what? And even being, like you said, majority of his games are on one team. When does that happen in the NHL? You know what I mean? Unless you're like that doesn't happen if you're not doing well. Like, you're going to get traded. That's just how it works. It's a business, right? But clearly he's doing something right. He's got some sort of, obviously, huge leadership quality and whatnot. Like, he deserves that. So, you know what? Get the heck out of here.
And you mentioned how many games he's played in consecutively. Like, he's like, on 900 games now.
That's another record right there. I think I was reading that.
Fourth longest streak in league history. He's 13 back of the active leader, Keith Yandle.
Yeah.
And Keith Yandle is younger than he is.
Like, that's just, how do you not get, like, I was reading, like, the article that said that was basically, like, he had, his 2 sons were born. I don't know if they're twins, maybe different times, whatever. But as soon as they were born, he jumped on a plane and headed back out to wherever they were playing that night and played those games. You know what I mean? Like, That's insane. And he obviously still has a strong tie with his family and whatnot. Like, guy is doing something right. Like, he is.
Again, Hall of Famer.
Incredible.
Hall of Famer to me. I don't care what it is, what anybody says. He goes in first ballot for me. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care who else is on. You could have Lemieux, Howe, Maurice Richard, Wayne Gretzky on that ballot. I'm also voting for Patrick Marleau. Because again, this is something that doesn't happen very often. And the fact that he's done it so long without missing a beat, without missing a game, it just tells you that this dude is made for hockey. Like, he loves the game so much. And the game hopefully will reward him with the honor. So I'm all for that. So
100%. I agree with you on that one.
From there, let's go to, I don't know. Do you want to do, let's do, I don't want to talk about Jets yet. Cause I mean, we can finish with that. I want to talk about the stupidity that came out of the NHL this week, at least reportedly coming out of the NHL this week, in that a report was published this week. Mark J. Burns of Sports Business Journal reported that, quote, the NHL jersey advertising could become a reality as early as the 2022-2023 season, according to his sources.
Great.
I'm not saying that the NHL teams are going to look like the European leagues where they have, you know, ads all over the place and the logo basically just gets washed away by that. But at what point do we stop believing that this is for, quote unquote, making right, and all of the catchphrases that owners and management are using in the NHL, and just start saying, dude, you're greedy. Like, you're the greediest sons of you know what on the face of the earth, outside of maybe soccer owners who made that whole Super League thing.
100%. I agree. You know, I don't know. It just, to me, like, why? Why? Because you want to make money. That's why. That's the only answer. Right. That's it. That's all. And I get it. I do get it. It's a business, but also, like, why? Why do you got to do that?
But maybe that's the question then. Have we exhausted every last available revenue source? I mean, we already put virtual ads on the boards and on the ice now. Like, they're not even real ads. They just get put on there by the TV stations.
Exactly.
Have we legitimately exhausted every last revenue source in that we have to now tread onto an NHL uniform, which, again, I've mentioned before, is sacred ground to me. Like, you cannot go onto an NHL uniform and start slapping on patches and going, that's okay, no big deal, we're good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. How do you, like, why? That's the only question I can think of right now, is like, why?
And maybe it begs the question, if the NHL is out of revenue sources, they have to do this, has the game reached its limit in terms of A, what it can spend on players every year, B, what it can generate in terms of money, just in terms of keeping this sort of wheel of money going, and C, if both of those are correct, if both of those are yes, what do you do now? Because if there is no more money to exploit, you're kind of out of business at that point.
100%. I mean, obviously, I think COVID definitely has a back to the freaking COVID again. Obviously, that has an effect on it. But at the same time, like, you make, like, there's no way that you should be struggling that much for money. Like, no way. So, not with that big of a business. Like,
reportedly, is that the helmet sponsors would be the first place they go to, and then they would tie the helmet sponsorship to the jersey sponsorship or the jersey ad.
Do people not have ads on their helmets right now?
Because they do.
And
here's the thing, is that the NHL made $15 million off of that in terms of the money they generated, just off, because they just threw it out there and said, we're going to make right and do this. Remember, this was a make right. This was in order to give sponsors the advertising that they had paid for in a fair and just way, according to the NHL. And now the NHL has said, well, we actually made $15 million off of it. So want to do more?
Exactly.
The NHL has jumped the shark now if they start putting ads on jerseys.
Like
European teams, I get, because they're closely related to businesses in the cities that they play in. They're closely related to the fact that they don't have millionaire owners who are looking to make a ton of money. Like, a lot of these guys, granted, have $1 million to spend in order to buy a team, but they aren't looking to make $10 million off this team. They're looking to make the community proud. They're looking to make win a championship. They're looking to, like, the basis in which European, and again, it goes back to the soccer argument that I just proposed as well, that Super League, the teams over there really are about civic pride, whereas the teams over here are about a millionaire or a billionaire's ability to make money. And if we don't like where we're playing or you don't give us a new arena, we're going to move somewhere else.
100%. It's business, baby. I'm just kidding. But I don't know. I don't like that. Like, I really do not at all.
I don't like it either.
I do not. I mean, like you said, jerseys are like a sacred thing. You know what I mean? Like, we already got the helmet thing there. It's whatever. It's there. But like, don't mess with the freaking jerseys.
Well, they are reportedly are exploring the idea. So expect it to happen sooner than later, because if we're hearing about it now, chances are it means they already have a plan for it.
Yeah. Well,
stupidity.
I'm going to write another strongly
worded. You got lots of emails to write now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey. Do you want to include one more strongly worded email? I didn't tell you about this one and Let's didn't give it. You the preview on this one, but
let me get my notepad out here.
The Calgary Flames, who basically held the city of Calgary hostage to get a new arena deal, the Calgary Flames and the city of Calgary have now put their new arena on hold because the cost of building that arena has skyrocketed with the cost of building materials going up.
Oh yeah, hey, because sorry, it's not funny, but
and so they want to meet. City of Calgary wants to meet, obviously, with the Calgary Flames and discuss how this can be resolved. My answer is they don't.
Okay.
And the reason that they don't resolve it or they don't get it resolved is that honestly, the Calgary Flames should pay for the any of the cost overruns.
You would think. I mean, you would think.
But that's not what it sounds like will happen, in that they're going to try and find a fair and equitable solution to the $275 million that's already been committed by the city of Calgary to building this new arena.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't even know what to say right now.
So this $550 million arena that the Flames basically said either build it or we're leaving was agreed to. Everybody agreed to the terms and conditions. Dude that's in charge of the Calgary Flames side of it basically said, we're not going to revisit this after it's done. And now they have to go back and revisit it. And if you're the main tenant for all of your sports teams, so Calgary Flames, Calgary Hitmen, shouldn't you as the main tenant be paying more if there are additional costs?
You would think.
I mean, that would seem like the correct way to solve this, no?
You would think, but I don't know. I literally don't have anything for you on this one, because I'm like, what in what world? Okay.
So again, back in 2015, Murray Edwards and Clayton Riddle, who are two of the owners of the Flames in terms of that ownership group, are worth a combined $4.8 billion. That was back in 2015.
Yeah.
Edwards, after Riddell unfortunately passed away, Edwards and his three co-owners now are estimated to be worth approximately $4 billion. Wow. And you're telling me you can't cough up a couple hundred million to finish off this new arena?
Like, are you joking? Are you kidding me?
So there's, again, there's the greediness that's coming out of these people. And I get it. They're running a business and they never want to run a loss. I get that. I understand how it looks and how it sounds when somebody says, hey man, we need $200 million more. But at the end of the day, this is going to be your rink for 25 years. Put the damn money into it.
Yeah. Like, you would think, like, you're trying to get something, you know, for your team, for your whatever. You're like, you would think, you know, put the money into it now and you're going to get it back in the long run. But no.
At the end of the day, apparently this is going to be resolved some way, somehow, and everything's on hold until it does get resolved, which means that the timetable to open this arena, which was scheduled for spring of 2024, likely will be pushed back.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Calgary. Well done.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. So there you go. There's a little more fun from the business side of the sport that we hate so much. So.
Well, we love it.
Let's get back to the stuff on the ice. Jets can't beat the Oilers, and it looks like there's a likely first round matchup there. Are we gonna see a one and done for the Jets again this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope not, but I don't know.
Mike Smith seems to have their number. I don't know what it is about Mike Smith, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously, like, they're not awful games to watch, but I don't know. I think they'll be able to pull through. I really do, but that's just me. So I don't
and it's
know.
Not, I mean, whatever. McDavid and Chris Idle are burning everybody, but I think it's good to ask because the Jets, they obviously have two more games against the Oilers next week on Monday and Wednesday, but starting tonight and on Saturday, the Jets get to play the Leafs, who are going through their own woeful time right now. Losers of five in a row, including two to the COVID affected Vancouver Canucks, in which their goaltending has been, you could probably stop more pucks if you just played six guys out.
Yeah.
Like, their goaltending is abhorrent.
not great.
Big save Dave Riddick, who went there from Calgary, has not made a save yet. And Jack Campbell, who went on that amazing 11-0 run to start his career with the new team, has now dropped and now looked beyond horrible. He's now looked street hockey goalie-ish in his last five games.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's, you were telling me about that, no?
Yeah, a little bit, but I look at this now and I go, if you're Toronto and you're thinking that you're going to go on a run this year, you're not. Your goaltending is abhorrent. You get to face off against Carey Price in the first round. Assuming Montreal makes it. If not, you're facing off against a very hot Vancouver Canucks team.
Yeah.
Secondly, if you win, you're playing against a Mike Smith on fire or a Connor Hellebuck. You think your goaltenders can outduel any of those guys? Come on.
I don't know.
So we'll see what happens here. But it looks like Toronto is garbage. Wheeler's back tonight, though, against the Leafs. So we got our full lineup back. It sounds like Harkins is coming out of the lineup. But that's where we're at for the Jets anyway. I do want to mention a little bit of AHL news that affects Canada.
Oh.
Possibly something that should be mentioned and would be mentioned. Vancouver has been exploring the idea of moving their AHL club closer to home. As you may recall, last time Vancouver had a team closer to them, it was called the Manitoba Moose. They then moved their franchise to Utica. It sounds like that deal is done, that Vancouver is done in Utica and wants to move their affiliate far closer to home. Rumor has it out of the AHL, at least some of the board meetings anyway. The next one happens on May 6th, I believe. Rumor has it they're looking at Abbotsford, which used to have the Calgary Flames affiliate in the Heat, Prescott Valley, Arizona, or Salt Lake City as the three possible locations for their AHL club.
Okay.
I would like to see an Abbotsford just because it makes the Canadian division one team stronger.
No, but, exactly.
I mean, that's me being selfish here. Abbotsford got screwed over hard by the Flames when they left, so Abbotsford might be a little reluctant to sign any deals, although the reported reason that they weren't getting attendance is because everybody in Abbotsford hated the Flames and wanted to see the Canucks play. So I get why there were no fans going to that rink when they were there. I don't know about Salt Lake City, and I don't know about Prescott Valley. Like, I know Salt Lake City has had teams before, but they never seem to do well there, and Prescott Valley is just, it's the hot new thing, like, you know, the next great AHL city for what it's got. I would prefer again to see Abbotsford, but we'll see what happens on May 6th because Vancouver is certainly looking at doing this. The rumor is that Utica has already signed a deal and has already trademarked the name Utica Devils to have the New Jersey Devils affiliate move there from Adirondack.
Okay. Huh. That'll be
from Binghamton.
Yeah. I mean, what day is it? I don't even know what day it is anymore, but soon. That'll be interesting to see where that goes, though, because
yeah.
I mean, a couple options there.
I mean, again, I would like, I just selfishly, I'd love to see another Canadian team in Abbotsford and certainly add another Western Canadian team to give Winnipeg somebody to travel to as well, because they rarely, I mean, they, right now in the North Division, they only get to see a couple of the teams, which is great, but I would like to see another, you know, another sort of setup there, but we'll see what happens at that point.
I agree. It would be nice to have an extra little, not little, an extra team out there, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with that, I guess, in the next couple weeks coming up.
And if you want to feel old, because we're not trying to make people feel old, but you want to feel old, Florida Panthers had Spencer Knight start their game on Tuesday. He's the first goaltender to record a win being born in the year 2000 or later.
Jeez. Okay. All right. You know what? Perfect.
So here's the fun part, though. Knight helped the Panthers beat Columbus 5-1. Probably could have started a couple days earlier, but his equipment had to be modified to NHL standards. He legitimately had pads that didn't fit the NHL standards in terms of sizing, and they had to go back and basically adjust all of them.
Wow. And he, good for him.
Yeah. So it sounds like, although there's been no confirmation from this, I was just checking, Elliot Friedman was writing about it a little bit today, but he may have been wearing one of Sergei Bobrovsky's old chest protectors against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Tuesday night. Yeah. Yeah. So, so there's the fun of, of,
I do feel old though. So thank you.
Being older now. Yeah, exactly. So it's weird that, you know, you think about guys that have, you know, that have come along, and we talk about a guy from 97 and Patrick Marleau breaking records. And all of a sudden we're talking about Spencer Knight, you know, registering his first win, being born in the year 2000 or later, and you go, man, like, this game is all ages, all people. It's a great game. It's just that the business side of it sucks so much.
It's very business. I mean, most of it is business-wise, but when you get into those other stories that are more so not related to the business aspect of it, it is definitely a great game.
One last update before we get out of here, because I think it needs to be updated. We had Lori Stoddy, as I mentioned before, on last week from St. Adolph. Lori is, and the team out there is still looking for some money to help them out. If you can, check out the Amelia website, which was on the, I'll post it again on Hockey Blog in Canada and stuff this today. But 26 donations have come in so far, $5,000 raised so far to help the club. So they're getting there. They need some help still building, you know, getting that arena back up and going, but they're getting there. If you got any money that you can help out with, anything $50 or over is tax deductible. So if you can donate a few bucks and help beat the government as well, that's always a nice thing to do. But if you can get on there and help that out, we'd be super happy to see that, because eventually when everything starts getting back to somewhat normal, I think we're taking the show out there. So,
okay.
Gonna have some fun out in St. Adolph.
I can't wait. I love it out there.
I do love the road trips out there. So we'll get out and have some fun that way. Jenna, anything you want to say before we get out of here? Our hour is almost up.
No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything. Stay safe. Wear your masks. Do your part so we can go back to normal.
Yeah, do your part for sure. That, folks, ready here for another week. Stay tuned for Skippy Free Range Radio here on 101.5 UMFM. It's the Hockey Show. We'll see you next Thursday, everybody. Have a good one. You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Game on!
Game on!
Hey students, Career Services wants you to know about a new program brought to you by the Government of Canada and Ripon called Level Up. Students get to build the skills that employers are looking for and earn money, all while continuing their studies. This is real work experience, and you can get paid up to $1,400 to do it. For more information or to sign up for an information session, go to Level Up on the front page of the umanitoba.ca/career services site.